Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples. But Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." I understand where Peter is coming from. Just 2 weeks after my mother's 91st birthday, she began experiencing heart trouble. She had never had any issues with her heart before. In retrospect, I see that the end of her life was near. Her 91-year-old heart was failing, and even a pacemaker wouldn't prolong the inevitable. None of us lives forever. Well, the next 3 months were a whirlwind of crisis after crisis that included 2 trips to the hospital by ambulance, arranging for home hospice care, and Mike and I moving into her home 24/7 until late one night she died peacefully with us at her side. When we awoke in our own home the next morning, I remember saying to Mike, "Now, honey, this is going to sound strange, but what I want to do today is to go and buy a new liner for our pool." For Peter, it was fishing. For me, it was retail therapy, shopping, and a desire to do something so normal, something that felt familiar, something that was grounding. Keep in mind that in just a couple of weeks, the disciples had experienced a jubilant entry into Jerusalem, an unusual Passover meal with Jesus washing their feet, an agonizing and exhausting prayer-filled evening in the Garden of Gethsemane, a kiss of betrayal, 3 denials, a kangaroo court of a trial, the raging mob calling for Jesus' crucifixion, and then the grisly execution of their beloved leader, followed by 2 encounters with the risen Christ, wounds and all. Perhaps you can understand or can identify with Peter as well. Perhaps you have been so overwhelmed with emotion by life situations where you have felt totally numb, that you felt the need to do something familiar, something comforting and grounding because you have lost your bearings and you can't make sense of it all. Your heart has been wounded and your mind lacks clarity. Perhaps your spouse has left. You've been given a dreadful medical diagnosis or you've lost your job. Someone that you love has died and your spirit is numb. There is just so much pain that the human spirit can take. What we hear today in this gospel is about Jesus' 3rd appearance to the disciples since his resurrection. We're not told how long it has been, but we do know that the disciples have left Jerusalem and are back in their hometown of Galilee. The scene takes them back to where Jesus fed the 5,000 and where he found and called them for the first time when they were fishing. And the disciples set out in a boat through the night, but catch nothing. And the sun is rising over the horizon and a lone figure appears on the beach, standing by the glow of a small fire. And he calls out to them using a name that he has used before, a term of endearment. "Children, you have no fish, have you?" He knows the nets are empty. "Cast your net to the right side of the boat and you will find some." And they do as he says, and lo and behold, their nets are full to the point of almost ripping open. And then John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, through the eyes of faith, recognizes Jesus and says, "It is the Lord." And Peter jumps overboard and swims to the shore. Jesus had given them, as he has given us, a commission to work for him, to follow him. But how, we ask, what do we have to offer? And where do we even start? Well, we start with what we have, our God-given gifts. doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, teacher, grocery worker, volunteer, wife, husband, mother, father, brother, sister, friend, stranger. Whenever you find yourself and wherever you find yourself, you are called and can work for God's kingdom. You can spread the gospel message. By the power of the Holy Spirit given to us at our baptism, we are equipped and supported by the divine. Little Riley Emma will be baptized this morning, and she's too young for us to know what gifts she has been given, but whatever they are, she's expected to use them for the betterment of others. And we will take the opportunity this morning to renew our own baptismal covenant, the agreement that we entered into with God to resist evil, to proclaim by word and example the good news in Christ, to seek and serve Christ in all persons and love our neighbor as ourselves, and to strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being. And the baptismal vows that her family makes on her behalf this morning are their commitment to help guide her through life, being faithful to Jesus' teachings. All of this can seem like a heavy burden if we make the mistake of thinking or believing that we are alone in this commitment. But we are not alone. We make our baptismal promises with God's help. And we deceive ourselves if we think that God is no longer in control and that God is no longer active in the world. You know, God is not interested in perfection. If he was, he wouldn't have called Peter or any of the other disciples. And he certainly wouldn't have pursued Paul, who was notorious for persecuting members of the early church known as the Way. God is not hampered by our lack of nerve, our action, or our commitment, or even our IQs. As with Peter, who denied Jesus three times, we are forgiven and loved by God. And as with Paul, no matter what we have done or failed to do, we are forgiven and loved by God. God forgives us, loves us, and calls us to follow and to share the gospel message with others, the truth of God's abundant blessings and life in Jesus Christ. What we heard this morning from John's gospel may be the last encounter with the risen Christ that he records, but this is not Jesus' last appearance. He is still with us. Perhaps you'll see him at the beach this summer, or on a street corner, or in a parking lot, in the guise of an immigrant or a refugee at the border, or in the face of the elderly, or in the smile of a child. We are called, like John, to see with the eyes of faith. And I ask you to pray for eyes to see him in your daily life and to look for him. In Matthew we read, "Ask and you will be given, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." The promises are true. And just as Jesus prepared a breakfast for the disciples and asked them to bring some of the fish that they had caught, he asked us to bring our gifts and join him in ministry. And he promised to never leave us or forsake us. Shortly, we will bear witness to baby Riley's baptism into the body of Christ. The concluding prayer that I will offer for her after her baptism is one of my favorites, and I offer that for all of you. Sustain them, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give them inquiring and discerning hearts, the courage and the will to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen.